Let's give Jesus a hand clap. It's awesome to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. It's also awesome to be with Pastor John. I don't know about all you, but I got touched. You know? And I don't mind crying. Amen? I think I'd like to be like the weeping prophet, and that would be good with me. But you know, when God touches your heart, you just want more of Him. I did meet Pastor John Stevens 3 years ago, and he had that presence that you knew you were with a man of authority, that you were with a great man. You know, we meet a lot of men, but when I met Pastor Stevens, I knew I was with a great man. Amen. And I humble myself before you, sir, and I am pleased to be in this church. I have preached from this pulpit many times under the watchful eye of my other good friend, Pastor Josh Willis, who never made me sit down. So hopefully you guys will enjoy today, and the Lord's going to show up, and we're going to all be blessed. Amen? There was, and you know, some of you, how many of you were at the last God encounter? Any of you? Just you? Okay, a couple. I told a story, you know, about Joe Robinson when he first came in the program. And Joe had asked, he said, hey, CJ, he goes, man, would you pray for my hearing? He goes, you know, I really need prayer for my hearing. And I said, yeah, sure, you know, Joe, I'd be happy to. And I grabbed him by the head and I started praying, and I'm going over here and I'm casting everything off of him and I'm saying, open up those ears in Jesus' name. God, I'm praying over his hearing. He's going to be healed in Jesus' name. And I let him go. And he stepped back about 4 feet, and he goes, Jesus, I don't go to court for another week. Amen? You know, let's think about this. If Matthew 4:19 says, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men, my question to you is, are you following him? Amen? My other question is, are you fishing? And if you're fishing, how many are you hooked? Amen? So if I'm a fisher of men, I must be hooking something. There's a lot of people that just throw the line out. Amen? But now it's time that we hook something. If I asked you how long you've been saved, you would tell me and I would say, how many people did you lead to the Lord in your lifetime? How many people did you lead to the Lord last year? How many people have you led to the Lord this year? Are you fishing? How many people have you led to the Lord this month? Are you fishing? You know, I was sharing with Pastor John that men and women, when they get tired, will pay their tithes, they'll come to church, but they stop being a witness. They stop telling everybody about Jesus. But when you got saved, nobody could shut you up, because Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. And nobody could shut you up. You told everybody everywhere you went, something happened. Something changed. The glory of the Holy Ghost fell upon me. The blood of Jesus has changed me. Old things are passed away. I'm not the same creature that I used to be. My life has been changed. In order for someone to be saved, someone needs to have knowledge to share the gospel with them. Amen? Even if you have your testimony in the blood of the Lamb, you can share. You can tell them something has changed. Amen? Pastor Lawrence was preaching at the South Church, and Darlene and Pastor Lawrence, myself, and this little missionary, we went there. I drove them, and we were just having fun there, and they preached, and I'm driving on the way home, and Pastor Lawrence wants to go through Frisch's. So we pull up to the Frisch's window and order his food and everything, and I was not hungry. But the Holy Spirit was dealing with me to speak to the women in the window, and I kept putting it off. I was like, hey, I got Pastor Lawrence Bishop with me. I got Pastor Darlene Bishop with me. I got missionaries, you know, with me. I said, you know, Lord, you know, what if they don't get saved? Then you'll plant a seed. Speak to her. And I looked into the window and I said, man, what church do you go to? You know, you don't need to ask somebody, are you saved? You can find out real quick when you say what church you go to. Amen. And when they can't tell you the name of the pastor, you know they ain't saved. Amen. So when I reached in, I spoke to her. She looked at me and she goes, that is so funny. I was just walking around in here and I was asking God to help me. And you pulled up to the window and she began to cry and I reached my hands out of the window. If you've been to Frisch's, you got to really move, and we're in a big van. So I had to crawl halfway out the window to grab her hands and pray the sinner's prayer with her. And when I was done, she was still crying, even when she gave us our food. And I turned around and I gave everybody their food and I began to pull up. And when I pulled up, there was a man walking out of the restaurant and the Lord said, go get him. I said, Lord, I got Pastor Lawrence Bishop and Darlene Bishop with me. And he said, I said, go get them. Amen. Do you still hear him when he speaks to you? Do you ignore him? I stopped the van, got out of the van. I said, I'll be right back. And I ran over and led the man to the Lord and hugged on him and got back in the van and drove off. Amen. Acts 8:27-35. You got to look at what Philip's doing here. Philip is caught up by the Holy Spirit, leaves a revival where signs, wonders, and miracles are happening, and speaks to an Ethiopian man who is reading Isaiah. Verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He needed someone to teach him. He needed someone to go. But Philip was hearing his voice, so Philip went. The man knew nothing about Jesus, but he needed somebody to explain to him what he was reading. The place of the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The who is us. Who's going to declare this generation? Who's going to tell them if you don't go? Who's going to tell them if we shut up and we become silent in the church? What happens to a silent church is a dead church. We are either telling somebody or we're dying. You can come and pay your tithes. You can come to church. But when you quit testifying, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet, the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Can't you feel the excitement? How exciting it must have been to be able to preach to somebody, to tell somebody. How many of you, when you start to talk about Jesus to somebody, you feel the fire rise up within you? You feel the Holy Spirit begin to move as you begin to speak. After Philip explains the passage he is reading and asks Jesus into his life, he sees water and gets baptized on the spot. Pastor Josh Willis and I and several other pastors and went to Red Lobster where we were going to eat. Now, they started to give us this little bitty table, and Pastor Willis at that time was a very large man. I was a very large man. We were all pretty large men. And the little booth they were going to put us in just was not going to work. So Pastor Josh says, hey, do you have something a little bigger? So they take us back to a corner away from the person that we would have been able to talk to a new area where we sit down, and I sat down in the back, and the rest of the pastors had sit around, and we began to talk, and all of a sudden the waiter comes up, and the Lord said, I want you to talk to him. And I said, Lord, I got Pastor Josh Willis. I got this other pastor. I got this pastor, and I got this pastor. I said, I want you to speak to him. I said, well, they can speak to him. He said, no, I want you to speak to him. So he walks up to the table and in front of all these great men of God, and I just looked across, and I said, sir, what church you go to? Same response. I was walking around here wanting to go to church, trying to figure out how I could get my life right. And I said, did you know that there's none righteous? No, not one. Did you know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Did you know that whosoever, and I said, brother, you don't need to do anything but look at me. And he, remember this? And he got down on his knees as he asked Jesus Christ into his life in the middle of Red Lobster. Amen? Come on, somebody. Are we hearing him? Come on, somebody. Are we hearing him? Amen? The Lord will send lost souls to people who are equipped and willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone has to tell them. Sometimes he uses angels. In Acts 10, Cornelius was a devout man who feared God and gave alms, prayed, and fasted. But he was still lost and needed someone to explain salvation to him. An angel appeared and told him to send his servants to Joppa, to the tanner's house, and ask for Peter, who was staying there. Peter went with the man to Cornelius' house and preached the gospel. While preaching the gospel to Cornelius and his house, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. Then he baptized them all right there. Someone has to tell them. Can the Lord count on you being that someone? In order for someone to get saved, someone needs to be equipped to share the gospel with them. I was at work, and, you know, I'd led, I don't know how many people to the Lord. I was working for International Paper in Tri-County, and I'd led quite a few of them to the Lord. But this one man, you know, I started to talk to him, you know, and very rough guy. And I said, hey, man, I said, how you doing, you know? And he goes, you're one of those. I said, what? You know what you are. You're one of those. And I'm sitting there in shock going, what are you talking about? You know, you're one of those. I said, are you fanatic? That's what you are. You're a fanatic. I said, well, I tell you what, brother. When I'm standing before the Lord on judgment day, I want you behind me. And I want you yelling to the top of your lungs, fanatic, fanatic, fanatic. I said, now, what do you think Jesus is going to say? And he began to cry. And he goes, I know what he's going to say about me. And I led him to Jesus Christ. And it was the middle of winter, February. And there was ice everywhere we went. And he said, I got to get baptized. I got to get baptized tonight. And I want to do it in the creek. So we went out, headlights on the creek, broke ice, and baptized this brother. Now that's a fanatic. Amen? Come on. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to find the lost and to save the lost. And then he left, giving the job to who? Us. Man, if we don't go seeking and saving the lost, ain't nobody going to do it. How many of you have had a Jehovah's Witness come to your house? Amen? Look at those hands. How many of you had a Christian come to your house knocking on your door to win you to Jesus? Man, that's embarrassing. That is embarrassing. One or two hands went up. But almost every hand in this building went up over a Jehovah Witness. And here we are, the real witness, that our lives was changed, transformed. The blood of Jesus took away our sins. Old things were passed away. People are dying and going to hell all around us because men and women are not equipped to lead them to Jesus. So we begin to pray for God to send laborers into their lives. That's what he said for us to do, right? Matthew 9, 37 through 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. But the laborers are few. What do you mean? Well, I mean, it's going to be a sad day when I stand before Jesus and he says, I came to die for you, to take your sins upon my flesh, to be whipped, beaten, and flogged. I came to be nailed to a cross that the lost might be saved. But I can't get a laborer to witness for me. They nailed me and beat me for you, and you quit testifying about me. I got two men in this church that God sent Christians to their door. My God, help us. My God, help us. Have mercy upon us. What has happened? What has happened in America that you would sit here and die, and people out there are going to hell? If the harvest is ripe and you're a farmer and you go out to plant and all you do is throw seeds, pretty soon you're going to have more seeds than you got plant. Too many seeds sometimes kills the harvest. But he sent me and you to reap. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Are you praying? Are you praying? Because if you were praying, it wouldn't be two people that rose their hand today. It would be an abundance. The word send says and means fling, throw, launch, propel, or drive. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send, propel, launch, drive, fling, throw forth laborers into the harvest. We ain't got time to play. It's wrapping up. We're in the last days. If there's ever a hunger, if there's ever a need, the need is today. Will you get out of your pew? Remember the difficulty God encountered with getting Jonah to Nineveh? 3 days in the belly of a well. He was brought to his knees. He was propelled, launched, thrown, and spit out on the beach in Nineveh. Amen? What does the Lord need to do to get your attention? What if the Lord treated you like the early church? Acts chapter 8. After Stephen is martyred, the early church was reluctant in promoting the gospel beyond their comfort zone. So the Lord allowed a great persecution to come against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And they went everywhere preaching the gospel, the living word of God. What does he have to do to get you out of the pew? What does he have to do to get you to go forth and birth someone into the kingdom? What does it take for him to scatter you. I woke up at 4 a.m. in the morning, and the God downloaded something into me. I couldn't stop writing because I have such a hunger for souls. I have a hunger for you, man. I have a thirst for you, man. Send me the heathen. Send me the heathen. Send me the hurting. Send me the afflicted. Let me be like David in the cave. Send me everybody hurting. Send me everybody in distress. Send me the need, God. As I began to write, the Lord gave me this. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. No matter what I have said, no matter what I do, I can't get my people out of the pew. I told them to go into all the land, but very few will listen or obey my command. This I have spoken, these were my last words. But some of you pretend like you never heard. One day I will separate the tares from the wheat. Follow me or give someone else your seat. I'm coming back. I am my Father's son. Then everyone will know what I have done. Tell everyone what I have said, for I am the resurrection of the dead. I gave my life for all to see. Get off the pew and follow me. I'm sending you out two by two to fill my church and not the pew. I died for you and all your sin. My blood has covered you. We will win. Make no mistake, my time is near. I'll make you a fisher of men, so have no fear. Step on Satan, put him under your feet. Set the captives free. This is my meat. So get out of the pew and out of your seat. It's time to take my word to the street. This is your commission and my command. Take my word throughout this land. Heal the sick and raise the dead. These are the words that Jesus said. Follow me and be spirit led. Oh, the blood that Jesus shed to cover our sins. He suffered and bled. They beat his back. They pulled out his beard. He went to that cross and he never feared. The people, they screamed, they laughed, they sneered. They stuffed a crown of thorns upon his head. He hung on that cross until he was dead. His flesh was ripped. His body was torn. For this day the Son of God was born. He called you out of darkness. He opened your eyes. Don't follow Satan and don't believe his lies. I need you to listen. I need you to hear. My time is close. The day is near. A doer of the word is what we should be, following our Savior and setting men free. Searchers of souls has no shame. Jesus walks with us. He knows our name. We walk in the streets where no one will go, being led by the Spirit of love of God we show. Not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit they will see my light. Into the darkness we must go, battling Satan, binding demons that know. Jesus is coming. This we declare. Pick up your cross. It's not hard to bear. Today, someone will be saved, someone set free, because in the streets, you will find me. Mark chapter 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye. First two letters of God's name, go. And he's saying, go ye. Who's he speaking to? Is anybody in here hearing him this morning? Come on, man. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord spoke unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen? I was preaching in Indianapolis, and me and another pastor friend of mine were riding up together, and I was just preaching my word to him. We do that, you know, so we can't help it. You know, you have an overflow. Sometimes when God's giving you something, you just got to speak it. And I was just preaching to him all the way up there. And when we got up there, he said, hey, man, they're going to open the church an hour early for us to go, and we'll be able to go in and pray for an hour before church service. And I said, man, that's awesome. You know, and we got up early that morning, went, and doors were locked. And he goes, man, the guy was supposed to be here to open the door. I said, Tony, I said, man, we're in Indianapolis. We're 2 hours early. I said, let's just go down and get a cup of coffee. So we go down to McDonald's, and he goes, I got to go to the restroom. And I pulled my truck in and parked, and he said, I got to go to the restroom. And when he said that, I said, I got to talk to this guy outside, man. I said, I feel like the Lord wants me to talk to him. And I go up, and I start talking to him, and I hear him a little bit. And then I began to say, did you know that there's none righteous? No, not one. Did you know that we all fall short of the glory of God? Amen. Did you know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And about that time, Tony showed up, and we led him to the Lord, and the guy is crying, and we're hugging on him, and we jump in my truck, and we take off down the road. And I said, Tony, man, we got so excited about that guy that we didn't even get a cup of coffee, let alone a sandwich. I said, so let's go back through McDonald's. We'll go through the drive-up window. I said, that way we'll have no trouble. Well, we pull up to the window. The woman looks all distressed. And I said, ma'am, I don't know what's going on with you, but I have the answer. His name is Jesus. I said, did you know that there's none righteous? No, not one. Did you know that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Did you know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ? And she is crying her eyes out. I reached out of my window and I grabbed her hands and I led her through the sinner's prayer. I didn't care who was behind me or who was in front of me. And when I was done praying, I pulled up. And as I was pulling up, she was leaning out the window going, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, somebody. Come on. I'm talking about hearing God. Well, Tony gets so fired up, he goes, CJ. He goes, man, there is a laundromat right over there. Pull into that laundromat. There's got to be somebody lost in there. We pull into the laundromat. We're laughing. We're having a good time. One, two people to Jesus. Man, hadn't he been to church yet? Got our sandwiches. We were eating, having fun. And this brother comes out of the laundromat that's about 6'6". Huge man. And I said, hey, brother, what church you go to? He says, I am Muslim from Africa. And I said, well, I'm Christian from America. Come here. And I look at Tony, and Tony is like this. You are on your own. This one you got. And he comes over and he leans his hands on my door, man. And I can feel my car go down, you know. And I'm looking at him and I said, listen, let me tell you something. I don't know much about Muslims. And I gave him a quick testimony of my life. And I want to tell you right now, if Jesus is real and you ask him into your life will be turned upside down right here where you're at. And I reached over and I grabbed my Bible and I said, and if it don't, every word in this is a lie. And I set it down and I grabbed his hands and I took him through the simplest of prayers. And he asked Jesus Christ into his life. And he threw his hands up in the air and started bouncing back in the parking lot going, this is good. This is good. This is real good. Woo! It's still good today. It's still good today. It will always be good. And it is good today. Stand with me. Woo! Feel the fire. Get stirred up. It's time to be what he called me to be. It's time to go fishing. It is time to go fishing. If the harvest was ever ripe, it's riper today than ever before. Will you fish with me? Will you make a new commitment to God that you'll fish with me?